This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
There's power.
Yeah.
In being thankful.
Yeah.
You know, not just saying a phony thank you, but in genuinely being thankful in things. And you have to be thankful for things by faith.
Yes. Because it's not always easy.
Yeah. Well, and you don't know what's going to happen.
There you go.
But you're trusting that out of this horrible tragedy that is hurting so bad you feel like it's going to pull your guts out, that God is good. And you believe that, and you're going to trust him to somehow take this and work good out of it.
Joyce Meyer for one solid hour. You can do that, right? You can talk for an hour.
I can do it.
I have heard the power of God called a lot of things. You know, there is the power in the gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot of, but I have actually never heard it referred to in regard to thank you. So, thank you, Joyce Meyer, for being with us.
Well, thank you.
That should have released some kind of power that I need you to explain, okay? Thank you for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No. Thank you. Okay. Help us release the power of thank you into our lives. How do we do that?
Well, first of all, so many people are looking for God's will for their life. You know, you hear that so much. What's God's will for my life? But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says that it is God's will that we give thanks in all things. All is the big word there, in all things. And being thankful, first of all, it's beautiful. Secondly, the more thankful you are, the more generous you want to be. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Like,
my goodness.
The more you see what you have and what God has done for you spiritually and materially, but even if you leave out the material stuff, just what God has done for us spiritually.
Yeah.
Sins forgiven, mercy, grace, going to heaven when we die, hope. I mean, it's phenomenal. Made right with God, justified, sanctified. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, to really think about that, to think that Jesus took all of our sin upon himself and set us free. Man, we should never find anything to complain about, but we do. I mean, if any one of us could make it through one whole day without murmuring or grumbling or complaining about something, I think it would classify as a miracle.
Yeah.
It's like it just seems natural. The flesh wants to complain. But over 100 times the Bible talks about thanksgiving. And I think 73 times it says give thanks. Mm. And so when the Bible tells you to do something that often, it must be pretty important. Let's go with the generosity thing for a minute.
Okay.
The more I think about what God's done for me, even the ministry. I mean, I'm your least likely person to be sitting here on TBN talking to the world. I'm your least likely person to have the ministry that I've got. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not just trying to be humble. it's a miracle that God's using me. And so the more we don't think enough about what God has done for us, we need to think about it. We just need to think about how good God is and what he's done for us and how much he forgives us for. And the more you think about how blessed you are, the more you have a desire to be generous. Mm-hmm. And when you think about what you have, then you don't think about what you don't have.
Got it.
And it's thinking about what you don't have or what you think you don't have that makes you unhappy. And so the more you think about what you do have and what God's done for you and the more appreciative you are, the happier you become. And happy people are generous people. I mean, don't you agree that we're not as thankful as we should be?
Yes.
Clearly.
I mean, 100%. It's, you know, the Bible says be thankful and say so. Yeah. And people can't read your mind. And so not only do we need to be thankful to God, but we need to be thankful to people. So thank you for having me on TBN.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for
being with us. Now, you do such a good job of advertising my books, and I appreciate you doing it.
We appreciate you stopping by, and thank you for being here. The power of thank you. I'm thankful that 2020 and 2021 are kind of in the rearview mirror,
right,
and that we are looking at a unique, but let's be thankful for something, and we can at least wave goodbye to you know, a couple of really bizarre years. The power of thank you. When I got into this book, and you sent one early to us so that we could go through it, in chapter number 4, you say thankful and say so. But I found a part in there that you were kind of dealing with the idea that you can't really release this power of thank you if you're constantly thinking about yourself. And the other, I have a follow-up question to that, which is, you weren't always like this. Oh. Meaning, this couldn't have been your first book out of the gate. This is your 200th book or something, right? So you had to learn this.
I'm still learning it.
Okay, but you need to walk us through it in that sense. But start with getting your thinking off of yourself, which is kind of in that chapter 4.
Well, I think we all think we're thankful. And maybe down deep inside, yeah, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what. But it needs to come to the forefront.
Okay. Mm.
It needs to be in our mind. We should probably never start our prayers without starting with thank you, because the Bible says you enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah. Come into his courts with praise. So you can't even really come into God's presence without being thankful. Normally, we start with petitions, all the things that we think we need to keep us happy. Me, 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 more of me. Instead of starting with all the things that God has already done for me that I'm thankful for. And I mean, it may sound silly, but even little things like, I love a hot bath, especially when I am really tired. And I thank God for hot water.
Yes.
I mean, I thank God for clean.
Yes.
Hot water.
Yeah.
To be able to go to my sink and get running water anytime that I want it. Thank God for air conditioning and for heat and for my home and a husband I've been married to for 55 years.
My goodness.
55 years.
That's a long time.
The one man. 55 years. And I've got a new dog that I'm thankful for. I'm having so much fun with her, but I would like to tell you a funny story. I think everybody on TBN needs a good laugh, and we'll get back to thank you. I took him out the other morning, and if he poos before he pees, he gets mixed up. He's supposed to pee and then poo, but he gets confused.
Have you taught him that?
All right, Matt.
We're all on YouTube right now, by the way, and it's gone viral. I can feel it. Okay. Go ahead.
So he got mixed up and he pooed and then he wouldn't pee. So I took him back in the house because it gives him 15 minutes to get his mind straightened out. And then I take him back out.
He's going through poo therapy.
Oh, wait a minute. The funny part hasn't even started. When I went out the second time with him, I forgot to fix the door so I could get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, it's about 4:45 in the morning.
Oh, no.
And I have on my pajamas because it's black, dark outside. Nobody's going to see me anyway. I'm going to run right, let him pee and poo and go back in. I couldn't get back in my house.
Oh, no.
I'm outside in my pajamas. I ring the doorbell. Well, our doorbell doesn't ring in the bedroom. Dave didn't hear me. I'm banging on the door. I get over in the mud. I bang on the dining room window. He wouldn't let me in. I thought, what am I going to do? I can't. So I go to a neighbor's house next door. I don't even know their name. And I'm ringing their doorbell at 5 o'clock in the morning. They never answer. So I went to the next neighbor in my pajamas. And I might say they just had spaghetti strap. But what's the kind of pajamas you should be visiting neighbors in? And thank God the woman came to the door and she recognized me through the glass. I don't know her name, but she walks her dog and I walk my dog. And she said, what's wrong? Is something wrong? I said, I locked myself out of my house. I don't have my phone. I was taking my dog to the bathroom. Can I use your phone? She gave me her phone and I called Dave and he didn't answer his phone. I had to call my daughter, and she had to get up out of bed and come to my house and let me in. And Dave said, well, I heard the phone. And I thought, who would be calling at this hour?
You idiot.
Now, nobody but me would get locked out of their house at 4:45 in their pajamas and have to go ring a neighbor's. Anyway, back to thank you. I'm thankful that I'm never going to do that again.
You're thankful you have neighbors?
Yeah, I'm thankful I have neighbors. And I'm thankful it wasn't winter.
Yeah, right?
Of course, I wouldn't have probably been in those pajamas if it had been winter.
Jeez.
And you're still thankful for your
See,
dog.
I'm thankful. See how happy I am?
That's I awesome. Find a lot of times, Joyce, when I do have a petition and I need to talk to God about that, my daddy taught it was enter into his presence for Thanksgiving, yeah. to his courts with praise. And then you ask for what you need. I find so many times that once I get through the Thanksgiving and once I get through the praise, my request.
You don't need anything.
I don't need nothing.
That's right.
I'm good. I don't need, he knows what I need, you know? And normally, because I believe when you magnify the Lord, everything gets so dwindled down, you know, and our problems go away. And it's like, I know you've got that taken care of. You know, so that's what I find out so much through just Thanksgiving and a thank you to God.
First of all, God doesn't need us to be thankful.
Yeah.
So anything He tells us to do is for us.
Yeah.
So we need to be thankful. It releases something in us.
Yeah.
And I believe I really believe it makes for a much more powerful life, because when you don't have your mind on what I need and what I don't have and me, you are happier. You cannot just have yourself on your mind all the time and be happy. It just, I know, because I tried it.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried really hard and it just doesn't work. And so be thankful and say so, because people can't read your mind. Not only do we need to be thankful to God, but we need to be thankful to people. We all have so many people in our lives that make us what we are.
Yeah, it's true.
People behind the scenes, people who do seemingly insignificant things that really are not insignificant at all.
Right.
Who don't get the attention that we get or the thanks that we get or the praise that we get, but they're the ones that are making us what we are, because without them, we couldn't do what we're doing.
We do.
So
just
imagine how much happier you'd be if you really thought every morning about all the people that keep you up and running and actually thank them or send a thank you note or a thank you call or a thank you email or a thank you text. I mean, it can change somebody's day just to say, thank you for all you do for me. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Joyce Meyer is releasing the power of thank you. And thank you for being with us. And you have our permission to get your computer out, go to Amazon, that small little company that you order books from.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you, Amazon, for delivering it to our viewing audience door tomorrow by Prime. And the power of thank you. Thank you. Discover the joy of gratitude. I'm still intrigued by the title somewhat, the power of thank you. That had to be a very specific choice that you made to call this the power of. So unpack that for a minute for me.
Well, I really believe that there's a lot of power in just what we've been saying, being thankful. God loves a thankful heart.
Yeah.
Not a, you know, the opposite side of being thankful is complaining.
Okay.
And Philippians 2, 14 and 15 says, don't murmur or grumble about anything, but in all things give thanks, and that you will be seen in the world as a bright, shining star. So when you think about, when you go out and about, don't you hear complaining pretty much everywhere you go?
Turn on any news channel and it's just complaining about
complaining.
Someone. Someone's complaining about somewhere.
Get on
everywhere.
Get on social media. Everybody's complaining.
Yep.
You go to the grocery store and they're complaining about their jobs instead of thanking God they've got a job.
Yep.
Women complain about their husbands.
Yes.
And if they don't want him, there's probably some lonely woman that would take him off their hands. You know, we complain about the faults that people have. God gave me a little exercise one time. I was unhappy with Dave about a couple things. I don't remember what they were.
See, it happens to her too.
And I was, you know, and the Lord put it on my heart to make a list of things that I didn't like about him and things I did.
Wow.
And the list of the things I liked about him was so long. And I had these two or three things on this other list. But see, I was focusing on them.
Yeah.
And so—
because if he could just get those three right, when I you'd have the perfect husband.
Then I didn't even see all the others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where if I looked at those and was thankful for those things, then I wouldn't even have had the unhappiness.
Right.
Of these other piddly little things that were bothering me.
So you said a while ago, you said if we aren't thankful, then we talk about what we don't have.
Right.
Instead of what we do have. Mm. So we start complaining about what we don't have, then we get into murmuring and complaining.
Grumbling.
And then all of a sudden, we're just unhappy people.
Unhappy people. We're being taken advantage of. Nobody thinks
now
about us.
Now you're just a victim of everything.
Nobody loves us. We're a victim. I think we'll just go have a pity party all day and feel sorry for ourselves.
Blame all your problems on somebody else.
And so there's another day out of your life.
Yep.
It's totally wasted that you can never get back again.
Yep. Wasted time.
Because time doesn't come back to you. If you waste it,
gone.
Spend it foolishly, it's gone.
You're tapping into something, Joyce, that if you just kind of take what you just said, this last 2 minutes of what you guys just did, you can apply that to about 50% of the country, maybe 50% of the world, you know, maybe more. And what it feels like is you're really starting to tap into the importance of this, because everybody has something they can be unhappy about and can complain about. But let me ask you one hard question. I know you complain about that, but
you're good about that.
But help us, because there are some things that just at the time are not good.
No.
At the time, they are something that we don't understand. Cannot possibly make sense. It might take a decade or three decades to make sense eventually. Mm-hmm. But there are things that happen to people that are just not good, okay?
Right.
And so start us there for someone that is sitting there going, yeah, it's all really nice. Look at you three sitting up there in that beautiful studio with the beautiful, you know, flowers around you and, you know, there's some real tragedies and there's some really hard things. How do you start releasing this power of thank you in a really rough time?
Okay, well, number one, and I say this with all gentleness and compassion for people that are hurting, complaining does no good.
Okay. Wow.
It just does no good. God answers prayers. He doesn't answer complaints.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter how bad I'm hurting or how unfair it is, complaining is not the answer. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace that passes all understanding. So even in this horrible situation, if I cannot complain about it, not worry about it, not be anxious, but pray, give thanks, this peace can come to me that is beyond my understanding in this, in this situation. Secondly, if we're going to believe the Bible, what Satan intends for harm, God intends for good. In Romans 8:28, all things, that includes tragedies, that includes things that make no sense, things we don't understand. I could use my sexual abuse in my childhood as a good example. I mean, even as a kid, I prayed, why, God, why? Well, he had a plan other than what I had. He didn't get me out of it, but he got me through it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So can I thank God that he got me through it, even though he didn't get me out of it? And I read something just this week that I thought was phenomenal. You can never be truly happy until you've had a sufficient amount of things to be sad about.
Wow.
My goodness.
What a powerful statement is that?
Wow. That's something else. Wow.
Yeah. Because we have to have something to compare everything to. I don't even know what happiness is if I don't know what sadness is. So I'm hurting. This is unfair. I'm being sexually abused. My father's ruining my life, blah, 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 blah. Okay. I get away from him. Now I can start making my own choices. And so, I mean, I would talk to God even when I was a kid and prayed and he didn't answer those prayers. So I always wanted to have a relationship with God and always, I always had an awareness of God, even though I didn't know how to be a Christian, I had an awareness of God. And so now I'm at this juncture in my life where I can either let these tragic things destroy me and I can be bitter and resentful and mad and feel like that I've been treated unjustly and I can hate my father and I can be bitter and take it out on everybody else, or I can give it to God, pray about it, with thanksgiving. See, we can thank God. I know there's a scripture, and I don't remember the reference right now, but it's probably in Ephesians. It doesn't say just be thankful in things. It says be thankful for everything.
Wow.
Now, that's kind of hard to swallow.
Yeah.
But I've been trying it. When difficult things happen, instead of just thanking God in it, I'll actually say thank you for it. And I have seen some pretty amazing things start to happen already. And so I'm kind of, it's going to be a test case. I'm kind of anxious to test this some more because how many people actually would do that? So now, and this is going to sound stupid, but since you love me, you'll let me say it anyway.
Always.
I actually can tell you that I'm thankful that I was abused as a child.
My goodness.
Because it has made me who I am today.
My goodness.
And like Joseph said, you meant this for harm, but God meant it for good, that I would be in this position to be able to feed all these people in this time of famine. So,
wow.
God allowed this to, got me through it, didn't get me out of it. It was wrong. It wasn't, what he did was wrong. God is still good.
Yes.
And any time if he allows something like that, he's got a better purpose in mind. It's not, we look at life in like what's happening to me right now and how does this feel? But God sees this whole picture. So he sees all the way to today. And now, praise God, by his grace, I'm on television around the world in 104 different languages. And we're sitting here now today talking to millions of people all over the world, and I'm telling them my story. Okay, well, maybe they've been abused, and now this is just what they need to hear today.
Wow.
To help them turn their life around. Well, if she can make it, then I can make it. How many people have told me that? When I heard your story, I thought, if God can do that for you, God can do that for me.
Whew. So let me just step off of that and say, I love that you brought up, when it says, count it all joy, mm-hmm. when all these things happen to you, so that we can have patience and let patience work its perfect work. This, I think scripture talks about a lifetime, mm-hmm. that you can be complete and entire, lacking nothing,
right.
lacking no good thing from God.
Right.
And I think that through the experiences, you know, we all go through different experiences. One loses a child. You can't even go there, right? Yeah. You with sexual abuse for 15 years. The things that each one of us go through. I look at my friend who lost her six-year-old.
Yeah.
And I say, you will find God. You will experience God because God is everything beautiful,
yeah.
everything holy, everything amazing. You will experience him in a way that I won't.
Right. Mm.
I wasn't sexually abused. You have experienced God on a whole new level that I get to glean off to this
right.
day. You know, and I think that's what the good news is through all the bad news.
Yeah.
Is that we get to experience something amazing of God in times like that as a comforter and as a healer and as the father to the fatherless and the, I mean, all these facets, beautiful facets of who God is.
And in the midst of all this, the bad things in the world.
Yeah.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
Woo. You know what? The last few minutes have been releasing the power of thank you, I think, in your life. That, Joyce, look, that was amazing because you did exactly what it felt like. There could have been somebody in the audience going, well, hang on now, sister. You don't know what happened to me. Mm. And you know, Lori and I were just in Waverly, Tennessee, and a very unique set of circumstances, a lot of rain over a short period of time, and 20 people were killed, and this 22 people were killed in this tiny little town that stretched along a railroad track there. And we went there, and all we knew to do was just show up, you know, and the first person we found was sitting on his porch, and his name was Cody. Now, Joyce, it looked like a bomb had gone off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, houses had been moved off of their foundations, and it kind of reminded us those images from years ago, Katrina, but just on a smaller scale.
And Ida.
And Ida a few months ago, and it feels like what I walked up to Cody, and look, I gave him a little bit of money. And said, look, this will buy you some gas and it'll do this and, you know, whatever you need. But what was really interesting was his attitude. Okay, that flood was not good. The 20
dying something, all around
yeah,
him.
The 20 something funerals that little town is gonna have to experience. And what Cody was sitting there telling us was the part of the story where he got to save these two girls and get them on something that was floating. And then he got to get up on top of a car that floated by and stuck to his house. And he got on top of the car and then got on his roof and then got plucked off his roof by a helicopter. And then the helicopter guy said, hey, will you help us get other people off roofs? And so he got to help, you know, and what you're conjuring up was he could have sat there and gone, man, life stinks. It's awful here.
I'm going to be mad forever.
And this is unfair and somebody's to blame. And, you know, he was telling me about what he got to do in the event and his attitude. So, Cody, if you're watching, you know, good on you. There was an opportunity for him to go complete dark side there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was grateful for the few dollars that we gave him. And he was grateful that he was alive and that his mother made it through. And he showed us the water level was, you know, 6 feet deep in his house. And
Past his porch.
Yeah, it was just, we went on and on and on, talked to many others. It was there was a sense that there's something to this, mm-hmm. that even in the muck and the mire and your possessions are gone and this was my grandfather's house and it looks like FEMA just told us they're not even going to be able to help us. And, you know.
There's still so much to be thankful for.
Grandpa's alive and he's at the house. Right. And, you know, and so there's something to this, even in the tragedy.
Thing.
Please.
This is so important. Everybody that you're talking to right now has the same opportunity.
Yeah.
Got it. Tell them.
Now, everybody that we're talking to right now has the same opportunity. That man made a choice.
Yeah.
I made a choice somewhere along the line.
There it is.
You know, I could have. I mean, when I read about forgiveness, I had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. I could choose to go with what God's saying, or I could just choose to keep going with my feelings. When God asked me to bring my parents close to my home and take care of them until they died, I had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest with you. I went to the nursing home on a regular basis. There was never one time that I went that I wanted to go.
My goodness.
See, you don't have to feel love to love.
Oh,
right.
That's my book coming out. Loving people that are hard to love. Shall I come back then?
We'll talk about that. Why don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to need an autographed copy.
Same place, same time, baby.
Because see, I mean, that's the thing. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision.
Yeah.
It's a decision that you make. And man, when you make that, not only is God proud of you, but it just knocks the teeth out of the devil.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Romans 12:21, you overcome evil with good.
I love older Joyce Meyer because your filter's getting less and you're saying more important things, I think, and it's amazing. What you just said, not very many people would even admit out loud in a private gathering, okay? You went to the nursing home to show love to your parents when you never felt like it.
Never wanted to go, not one time.
Holy
not one
smokes.
Time. And it cost a few thousand dollars every month to keep them there. It was my mom, my dad, and my aunt. My mother looked at me one day and she said, well, you should take care of me. After all, I'm your mother. And I thought, She knew my dad was abusing me and didn't do anything about it. And now I should take care of her.
Okay. Well. Go to that moment. You had a choice to go to the dark side.
Yeah.
What does that choice feel like?
Well, it's hard. You know, it hurts. It's hard. But see, when you get far enough along in being a Christian, you get a spiritual understanding of what God's doing. Early on in Christianity, you don't understand it. You just know how it makes you feel. It's just like, this is hard. I mean, how many times do people not do what they should do because they say it's just too hard?
Mm-hmm.
It's just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, the word of God is not too hard to do. We can do anything that God wants us to do. It's a matter of willingness. And we show our love for God by doing what he tells us to do.
Yeah.
And so a thankful attitude, like that guy that you,
Cody,
he made a choice. And his attitude made all the difference in what his experience of this flood is going to be. And not only that, now his attitude's blessing people all over the world.
Yeah.
Now, if he'd had a stinking attitude, you wouldn't have been telling that story.
That's exactly right.
Wouldn't have been interested in that.
Yeah.
And I hope we're getting the point across here that there's power in being thankful.
Yeah.
You know, not just saying a phony thank you, but in genuinely being thankful in things. And you have to be thankful for things by faith.
Yes. Because it's not always easy.
Yeah, well, and you don't know what's going to happen.
There you go.
But you're trusting that out of this horrible tragedy that is hurting so bad you feel like it's going to pull your guts out, that God is good and you believe that and you're going to trust Him to somehow take this and work good out of it. But it's you thanking Him ahead of time that releases that power.
Yeah.
I could sit here and partially argue this is one of the most important subjects on earth.
Yeah.
Because it's going to determine the trajectory of your life.
Right.
I know, you know, people that have experienced the same exact thing and they go to the dark side. They are a victim for the rest of their life. Their life is almost unrecognizable as a real quality life. And then you see people that can get past things. And when you said earlier that you can actually thank God for things, you know, that's the advanced class of that.
You know, and
I just got there about two weeks ago.
Yeah. And I don't
I'm telling you the truth. I did not understand that until about 2 weeks ago.
Come on.
And now I get it.
Wow.
I get it now. It's like, yeah.
Okay, break it down. Two weeks ago, what happened?
Well, I thought, thank God for things. I mean, I would read that before and I didn't even try to figure it out. It sounded so ridiculous. And so, but I thought, okay, I'm writing a book on the power of thank you. That's what the Bible says to do. So let's think about this.
Yeah.
Why should I thank God for something awful? Well, because I believe that no matter how awful something is, that God can work something good out of it.
Yeah.
So he took my sexual abuse and he's worked something good out of that.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're giving God the building blocks to build something in your life with releasing
when
this
power. When you thank Him ahead of time, it's
go.
Like releasing your trust in Him.
There you go.
It's like, now, but I can tell you, see, you said this is one of the most important subjects. Do you know that most people wouldn't think that was a big deal at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, we hear that all the time. Thank you.
And I want to say something, and this is, we can say this or we don't have to say this if you don't want to, but I was comparing, you can be even raised in the same household.
Yeah.
And two people completely see everything that happened. And I thought of your brother.
Yeah.
So here you are living victoriously, thanking God, trusting God, thanking Him that He does work all things. And your poor brother
is no longer here.
Couldn't deal with it.
My brother went in the Marines when he was 17 and he never had any fathering. He never had any decent upbringing. I mean, he actually told me later that my father tried to get him to try to have sex with my mother.
Oh, Jesus.
No, that's how demented my father was. That's the kind of household I grew up in. I can never remember my mom and dad ever one time tried to teach me any kind of a good principle. Never. I just existed there in fear. And I'm telling you, I don't care how broken it is, God can fix it and put it back together. And He can make it better than it would have been if it would have been left alone. And I know that. It's not something I think. I know that from experience.
But to Lori's point, you guys took different trajectories in your life.
He did. Well, he got on drugs and alcohol.
And that was his solution to problems.
And he never could get off of them. Yeah. He just never, I mean, He tried. I really believe He tried. My brother accepted the Lord. If you want to know the truth, I believe He's in heaven. I think that he did the best he could with what he had to work with, and he just could not get over it. So I thank God that He gave me the strength of personality. I mean, I'm sort of naturally a strong person.
Yes.
You know, I'm disciplined. You know, if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I know how to stick with things. And those are gifts from God.
Yeah.
And I don't take credit for that, but I'm thankful that God made me that way, because I want to tell you, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It was hard. It was hard. I had so many crazy things going on in my soul. I mean, I was so bitter and angry and resentful and didn't trust men and didn't like people. Just everything you're not supposed to be, I was. And God called me to preach.
Oh, jeez.
Now, you talk about taking the foolish things of the world.
Whew.
And using them to confound the wise. And, you know, I have a 12th grade education. My teachers recognized that I had a writing gift, and they wanted me to get a scholarship in journalism. Well, I didn't want to go to college. I just wanted to get away from my dad. Mm. And so what does God do? He anoints me to write 150 books anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll take the anointing over something regular any day.
Yes.
You know, this kind of feels like, you know, look, we never really plan anything. We're just sitting here kind of talking.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, basically convinced me that this is one of the most, you know, powerful subjects on the planet, because it really makes you have to make a choice whether you're going to be a victim all of your life or get past it.
Right.
And, you know, on this set one time, Jason Sobel, Rabbi Jason Sobel, gave a slight interpretation change for one of the words in the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ. And he said that word really from the original Hebrew would be better translated seasons. I can do all seasons through Christ who strengthens me. So sometimes he gets you out of something. Sometimes he gets you through something, but you can do that season.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're talking about. And you get into a bad situation and you either do one of two things. You either give God a whole bunch of materials to build something great in your life, mm-hmm. or you become a victim and basically self-absorbed.
Let's think for a minute about Paul's thorn. Okay, he asked God to take it away, whatever it was. We won't argue about what it was, you know. Whatever it was, he didn't like it. And he didn't want it.
Yeah.
And God wouldn't take it away. And he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Well, Paul got on board right away and he said, therefore, I will glory in my weaknesses.
My goodness.
Well, that's no different than saying, I'll thank God for my weaknesses.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll just thank God for this. Mm. And what would have happened if Paul would have said, oh, no. I'm going to be bitter about this. I'm going to have a bad attitude. You're going to leave me deal with this? After all I've tried to do for you. Mm. So every day we're faced with choices about attitude.
Wow.
Are we going to be jealous because this person has something I don't have? Are we going to be thankful that we have what we have? I wanted to say something about complaining, because this is important. I learned this years ago, but it really helped me, because I was a complainer and probably still am some. Complaining is actually sin.
Ooh.
It's not just I want to express how I feel. If you go back and you study the Israelites, every time something didn't go their way in the wilderness, they complained.
Yep.
They blamed God and they blamed Moses. And that was one of the reasons why they spent 40 years trying to make an 11-day trip. And that's one of the reasons why people just keep going around and around the same mountain. And even though they're hearing all these good things that God has for them, they never experience them, because they never switch from complaining to thanking.
Yeah.
And so then in 2 Corinthians, I think, Paul brings that up again. And he says, that happened for your benefit, so you could learn not to do what they did. Tempt the Lord. Mm. Don't test and try his goodness by complaining. Because when they complained and they complained, snakes got into the camp and 23,000 of them died in one day. Yeah. And finally they said to Moses, we have sinned. Mm. Now, that's amazing to me. 23,000 people had to die before they realized complaining was sin.
Wow.
Wonder how quick they'd have got through that desert if they would have been thanking God every step of the way.
My goodness.
Thank you, God, for this manna. Thank you for water out of the rock. Thank you for taking care of us out here. You know, in the Old Testament, they gave thank offerings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something we should do occasionally.
My goodness.
Just give an offering, not your tithe, yeah. It's not an offering to the poor. It's just you're just giving this offering. You can give it to the poor if you want to, but it's just an offering to thank God for his goodness in your life. Yeah. Or what about if we have thank you days?
Yeah.
Or thank you half days? You know, where you just, that day, you just focus on thanking God. Mm. And what if we just try to become the most thankful people on the planet?
Well, I think it would sure decipher a lot of people from the other if we did.
Well, there's so much junk going on in the world,
yeah.
And everybody complains about it. It's not going to do any good.
Right. Yep.
It's not going to change it. You can complain about the government till you turn blue in the face. It's not going to change it. What if every time we felt like complaining, we prayed instead?
Wow.
I believe that there's enough Christians, we could turn the world around.
Yeah.
If we would start acting like Christians.
Yeah.
And do the things that we're supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Sister.
The power of thank you. Joyce Meyer, thank you for breaking it down. Thank you for being here. discover the joy of gratitude. There is wherever books are sold, you can go to Joyce Meyer's website, you can go to Amazon, you can go wherever you want to go. You're explaining this beautifully,
yeah.
And the idea that this is not just a kind of Christian material light. Mm-hmm. This is kind of destiny determining stuff.
That's good.
In regard to, there is a Joyce Meyer sitting here, and bless your heart, your brother is not with us. And same household, same circumstances, and he chose a different path. And you've explained it not only with your abuse, but the flood that happened here in Nashville a while back that we went to. So we're talking about it in a way that is practical. And
talk about God wings and how you talk about it in the book.
Okay. We all have this happen to us. There are things that God does for you that are so meaningful to you, but they wouldn't even make any sense to anybody else.
Okay.
You'd almost feel...
We have a lot of those.
You'd almost feel silly trying to tell somebody.
Yeah.
It's kind of like God going... I got you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like God just giving you a wink saying,
"You're on the right
I got
path.
Your back. Yeah. You're okay. Yeah. You're doing good, son. You're doing good, daughter." It's just like, you know how it makes you feel. I mean, as long as you've been married, if Matt winked at you from across the room. Yeah.
Priceless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make you feel good because it's saying, I know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Still think you're beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And so I pray for those God winks in my life because they encourage me to keep going.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, just, we don't always, when you get, the further along you get in being a Christian, I think sometimes the less you feel God, you know.
Mm. It's interesting.
He expects us to go more by faith and knowing than by feeling.
Got it.
And in the beginning of my walk with God, there were so many seemingly like miraculous things that happened to me. It was like, that was God. That was God. All right, that was God. And I asked God one time, I said, why don't you do the things for me that you used to do? And he said, I do. You just got used to them now.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't notice it now. Mm. And so I'm really trying to notice what God does for me. And if it's little... or if it's big. And so that's what a God wink is. It's just like these little things that God does for you that just mean so much to you.
Can I tell you one that my dad had?
Sure.
our first address at the very first little rented TV studio in California was 111. Okay. That was the address, West Dyer Road. He used to always joke and say in dire need on Dyer Road. And when we got all the way to the East Coast, and now we have a big full power TV station in New York City, the transmitter there up on the Empire State Building, when we went to look at a particular place to buy for our studio there in New York City, it was 111. See, and so he saw that as kind of this little wink that God was saying, hey, this will be a good little studio for you. This is a good place. Mm-hmm. And it, so there were all sorts of little moments. Thank you, Squire Rushnell, for your book, God Winks. I love that book. And a lot of people know what we're talking about.
I didn't know there was a book, so I wasn't stealing your thing.
Squire and Louise are dear friends and great, great couple. The power of thank you and this theme, okay? Pray that we get it. Just, kind of, and maybe the last few final thoughts on the subject in general.
Okay. Well, even if you don't feel it, I want to encourage you to start being thankful. Thank God. I mean, you can be honest with him and tell him, I don't feel thankful. I feel like my life stinks. But I'm going to start in faith by thanking you. And on purpose, look around you. Look around your home. Think about things like you wake up in the morning and you're not in a wheelchair so you can get up and walk to the bathroom.
Wow.
There's so many things that you have that are gifts from God that we take for granted because we have them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've got a problem, you think, I would just give anything if I didn't have this.
Yeah.
Or I would just give anything if my tooth would stop hurting. I'd give anything if this or that. But when it wasn't hurting,
wow,
you didn't think to thank God then. So even if you have to start just in faith, start being more thankful and thank God in things. And I know it's hard, but try thanking him for things and believing that because he's good.
Wow.
There's no tragedy that God's not bigger than that tragedy. He didn't cause it. He didn't do it to you. It's not his fault. Don't blame God. We live in a mean, nasty world. Sin gets in the way. The devil gets in the way. We don't always know why things happen. We don't have to know why. We just know that God is good. And you try thanking him for things in faith, believing God will work something good out of it. You may have to do it through gritted teeth, but it's in the Word. So I pray for you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
That you'll get this, that it'll be life-changing for you. That this won't be just another TBN program you watched and you thought it was good, but it's going to be something you're going to implement in your life and it's going to change your life. It's not going to be for a day or two and then you're going to forget it and go on to something else, but it's going to be with you the rest of your life.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.